Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Thank you for your care, including everything and everyone. Even if it takes forever. Suzuki Roshi says, you know, good thing it takes forever, so we can keep practicing, including forever. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for welcoming me to this beautiful and well-cared-for temple. My name is Jiryu. And though I haven't been here to this temple, I feel very close by in spirit. I'm with the San Francisco Zen Center, currently the abbot at Green Gulch Farm, which is one of San Francisco Zen Center three centers. And of course, share with you all here this deep connection with our founder, Suzuki Roshi. Does everybody know Suzuki Roshi's teaching a little bit? So last year, this new book of Suzuki Roshi's teaching came out called Becoming Yourself. And I was going around to different places and talking about it. And I meant to come here, but didn't get the chance. And I said, next year I'll come. So now maybe everybody has forgotten about the book. But anyway, here I am, finally, even if it takes forever, just to say a little bit and to celebrate Suzuki Roshi with you and to share, now that it's had time to ripen, some of what I appreciate about this newest collection of Suzuki Roshi's teachings, which I had the chance to work on together with my teacher, Sojin Mel Weitzman. Dayo Sho. So, just to be ourself. Is a fundamental part of Suzuki Roshi's teaching. And that idea, that offering, that invitation permeates his teachings to just be yourself, to be completely yourself, to really be yourself. And of course, lots of other people suggest that also. Maybe you've gotten that advice before. Just be yourself, as though you could be any other kind of way than just yourself. But if you're like me, being reminded to just be yourself is somehow, even though you were, the moment before you were reminded to be yourself, you were yourself. But then someone says, you know, just be yourself, and then you can relax a little bit. That's strange. To just be ourself is this I just feel it in my body. You know, I've sometimes asked Zen teachers, like, what does that mean? You know, Suzuki Roshi has all of these things he says about it that make it sound special, you know. When you are you, Zen is Zen. Not too long ago, I was asking a Zen teacher, what does that mean? When you are you, Zen is Zen. And she said, I really don't know, but I've always liked it. Just to be ourselves, it's like, I guess like a lot of Zen, you know, it's sort of, it's either just meaningless or totally profound. That subtle shift to see that Dharma gate of just to be yourself, what kind of effort is that? Why does it feel like being held? Why does it feel like relaxation? This ease in the body when I say, just be myself. So, of course, there's a million ways we could talk about Suzuki Roshi's teaching and this style of Soto Zen practice, but this is a powerful one to say, as Suzuki Roshi does, our way of sitting is for you to become yourself. So sitting here on the seat, I don't know what instruction you've received, but that's a pretty good one. Just sit as yourself. Just sit being yourself. How do I do that? You know, what do I do? Just be yourself. Well, what's that? Who is that? Don't like figure out who you are and then try to be that. Just be this. Just be this thing that we've been the whole time. Or he says, the point is to learn how to be yourself. How to be a person in the way that a stone is completely a stone. I really like that one too. People say, well, I don't want to be a stone, I'm a person. So, yeah, but I want to be a person just like a stone is a stone, as completely. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what it's like to be a stone, but I think it's not so complicated. And maybe I could be a person in the same way, you know? Does that make sense? To be yourself is the purpose of our practice and the way to receive precepts. So that's the other part of this becoming yourself that we were going to put into the title, actually, Becoming Yourself, Teachings on the Zen Way of Life. We wanted to also say, and, you know, teachings on Zen and the Bodhisattva precepts, which maybe some of you know, these kind of ethical principles of the life of not harming. Feeling in Zazen, feeling in our stillness and silence, that profound intimacy that we have with everything, naturally, you know, we long to live in harmony with that and to not harm and to be of benefit to others. And so the path that's laid out for that is the path of the Bodhisattva precepts, the Bodhisattva's vow. But the editor didn't think we should use the word precepts in the title, so now part of when I've talked about the book, I have to say, this is a book about precepts, and I want people to know that. And what does he say about precepts? We have these 16 Bodhisattva precepts, and especially these 10 precepts of not to kill and not to steal and not to lie, not to deal in intoxicants, and not to exploit or divide or demean or put down others. And Suzuki Roshi says that if you're just yourself, actually, then you will be carrying out those precepts. If you try to take those precepts as a kind of mental moral code, as a list of things that a person should do that you're mostly not, you know, but will try harder to, you're in the wrong mind. You're in the wrong heart. Not that it's not a good mind and a good heart. I should do better. I should try. I want to be a good person. The Zen offering to that way of living in harmony is to just be yourself thoroughly, to be yourself, to be what this is. To be yourself, which is to be the innate loving heart that you have and the natural intimacy that we have, and to live from that ground. So to be yourself is the purpose of our practice and the way to receive precepts. So being yourself is somehow doing a lot. It's covering a lot of ground. And I want to share more about what he says, about what that might be or what that self is that we could be. But I wonder if there's anything now when I say and invite that for Suzuki Roshi, being yourself is this fundamental pointer to this meditation practice we're doing. Does anything come up for you? What happens in your body or your heart or your mind? You're here to just be yourself. Are you sure?
Being taught, you know, in Christianity, like, unless you do the right things, you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell. Like, it just felt like going through that, existing, you were being punished for the crime of existing.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do? You were born. Mm-hmm. So this teaching, there's something just freeing about be yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hell for being here and being a human being. Mm-hmm. Just let the extra stuff go and be yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, that is such, especially in the Western world, there is a profound freedom in looking at that. You know, maybe you don't quite get it, but to just let that extra go. It's okay to be here and to be you.
Yeah.
It's profoundly freeing.
Thank you. And then to trust, this deep trust that I feel in Suzuki Roshi, where, so maybe you might hear, like, to be a good person, you would need to, like, stop being yourself. And, or anyway, you need to become a good person.
You're a bad person.
You're not, but you can be.
You got to do these things to be.
You do these things,
You have to reach the goal up here.
Yeah, and so how deep is that in us, you know, that can we trust as deeply as Suzuki Roshi trusts that actually the best way to be, the best way to fulfill the Bodhisattva vow, the best way to fulfill the longing, the natural longing that we all have in our heart to actually be in intimacy and love with everything and like act like it, the way to do that is to be ourselves, you know, that the being, just being myself, isn't just like, it's not just that it's okay. It's actually the best way to be this love of everything and everyone, or it's the way to keep our precepts is to be yourself. The faith that's behind that actually there is goodness here. This heart, I don't need to covet over, like, well, really, I'm separate and, like, evil and hate everybody, and I need to, like, cover that over with this goodness, you know, and to say, actually, let's try to just be ourselves and trust that actually the good will flow from that. This deep faith in the Buddhist language, it's this deep faith in Buddha nature. That actually that's the deepest love that is available. It's just right there. We already have it if we're just authentic to that. Thank you for naming that conditioning. And maybe this is medicine, you know, to just be yourself. Please.
I notice in the book he does talk about karma and how the Christians have original sin and how that's very similar. Mm-hmm. It seems that when we sit, we get to know ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's true. We do have all of those things in us that say, don't hate, you know, don't disparage other people. For me, it just becomes more obvious when that comes up for me. Mm-hmm. I recognize it and I see it. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, I understand what he's saying mm-hmm. about the precepts come through mm-hmm. sitting and knowing yourself and seeing that mm-hmm. and recognizing that it is a part of being human, mm-hmm. but we learn to see it and know mm-hmm. ourselves. And I think mm-hmm. it makes sense to me in that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the book says it so nicely.
Thank you.
I have something.
Sure. I want to just appreciate that for a moment, and then I'd love to hear.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry about that.
I can't see your name. I'm just settling in thinking there's so much there in this simple teaching. And luckily we have until 11:30 p.m., I heard. So settle in for my 1,000 pages of notes here. But so just briefly, this way of practicing Zazen that Suzuki Roshi is trying so sincerely to transmit and that we continue to receive and to share and practice with each other is this way of including everything. Sit as yourself, including everything. So you might think, okay, in my heart there's this love, but also in my heart there's this hate. And now I have this vow to practice the love, so what am I going to do with this hate? I probably need to, kill it, get rid of it, squash it, stick it under the zabuton, maybe no one will find it, leave it in the car, lock it in the car, don't bring the hate. And then when the hate comes, that it's going to, oh no, here's the hate. Here's the cruelty. Here's the putting self up. Here's the putting self down. Here's the exploiting. Here's the lying, So this faith of to be a good person, which I so much want to do, he can't mean that I include that stuff. So the idea, the way that I've kind of come to understand it is, and to practice it is to include, and I so appreciate how you're saying it. We, in the space of including everything, we see who we are. So, if we were running away as soon as the hate showed its head, because I'm a Buddhist, I don't hate. And then as soon as the hate starts coming, it's like, I don't have that. And then we're never getting to know it. If we're doing some kind of meditation practice where we're concentrating so much that none of that hate, nothing can get into our concentration, we're missing this opportunity to see all this good stuff, all of the hate, all of the division, all of the dissatisfaction and everything, So letting it all the way in, including everything, the gate is wide open. It is totally welcome, the hate. And then we say, but if I let that in, how am I going to act in love? Because we keep including. So we include the hate, and then we keep including, and we include the bird sound, and we include the feeling of the breath in our belly, and we include the light, and we include the sensation, and we include this natural love that we have. I want to destroy, and also, I really don't want to destroy, This sense of can we be that open and include all of that, and then trust in this Buddha nature teaching, in this teaching of Suzuki Roshi, trust that when everything is included, actually, at the bottom, the deepest one, the widest thing is the love, is the harmony with others. It's not in a battle with the karmic part, with the greed, hate, and delusion. Let that all in, and the intimate, compassionate, wise aspect of our nature, which in this teaching is already present, already fulfilled, already mature in ourselves, which is why we know it when we see it, because we already have it. When we include everything, then without cutting anything off, the precept practice, the Buddha nature will lead, it will win. We can practice that in the body, in the mind, in the heart. And then how beautiful is that? We maybe are doing something loving, but we didn't get rid of the hate. It's right there together with it, trusting that love in ourselves is stronger not because we're making it stronger, minimizing the hate, but because that's our nature. So to practice the precepts is to totally get to know ourselves and include and get to know small self. This one line that maybe speaks to both of your comments, and then I want to go to this person online. Suzuki Roshi says in here, Buddha nature is not small self. It is big self, which is observing what you do and always accepting what you do. Whatever you do, Buddha nature will say, ah, that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. This has been kind of like a koan, been chewing on. When we're just ourselves, in a way, that is like this part of ourself, this bigger part is saying, yeah, it's okay. It's kind of unconditional love towards ourselves, you know? You can just be yourself, which means like, yeah, I mean, you're an idiot, you know? And you're like stomping on everything, but it's good. There's nothing wrong. That, having that feeling, that's what our Buddha nature is saying. And maybe that's not the message of like, you're bad because of that. Maybe it says chess.
Yes. My background is the same color as my hand, so it's hard to see. Okay. Richard Gere said a couple of days ago in Oslo, Norway, that this is the worst of times. That in a 2,000-year history, let's say, this is the worst of times. Although Suzuki Roshi might have experienced something worse. But I'm from that group that they want to exterminate on several levels. And so you're here. Be yourself. In some ways, you don't have a choice because you were born and you're here. And you just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
I mean, to say, oh, I have a right to be, that's not language that is used today, because we know that it doesn't matter. You don't have a right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just be. And I think a very wise 90-year-old Portuguese man said about being in the United States was, when things are really bad, bad, bad. But, hey, if you wake up, that's all that matters. You're alive. So get on with it. Be.
Thank you. Any questions? thank you. Yeah, even to say right is like separating from it. Maybe you remember the Buddha touches the earth, and the Buddha, when on the seat of enlightenment, is getting very confused by questions like, who do you think you are, you know? And the Buddha touches the earth and says, yeah. You could see, Buddha doesn't say, you know, I have the right, but more like, I am this. So in Becoming Yourself, Suzuki Roshi says, it's not even, and I want to say some about this, in what is this be alive, be life itself. I mean, what are we, right? He says, it's not even like you're a part of the cosmic being that has the right or something, or that belongs. We could say that from the point of view of separation. We have to say stuff like that. But he said, it's more like you are actually one with everything, you know? You're not just part of the cosmic being. You are actually, this being alive that you are now includes everything. And he says that again and again. And so I've been practicing and trying to appreciate this being alive that each of us each of us, whatever that is, are, includes everything. The field of being, the field of this moment, doesn't have some part. You're not like some part of that. The whole thing is one thing, and it's happening, and you call it yourself, or your life, or your awareness, or your zazen, or something. But when you are just be, as you told us, when you're just a life, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have sides, it doesn't have parts. You're not part of something. The whole thing is actually one thing. And that is you being yourself. When you are yourself, then you include everything. The you that we are is just this being that everything is, that includes everything. Did you in the back have a comment? Can you throw me a, no. Throw me, did you have?
Can we pass the microphone?
Oh, sure.
So I'm busy being myself.
Wait. Okay.
So all right. People online have to hear you.
And other people are either annoyed or disappointed or yes. I'm not living up to their expectations.
Uh-huh. Or oh, delighted. Or delighted.
Yes, well, occasionally they're delighted. I mean, it's wonderful for me to say, well, I'm just being myself, and I'm living my life the way it's manifesting and arising. Uh-huh. See where I'm going?
Well, you're making an excuse.
Okay.
No, please continue. I don't know where you're going.
No, it's...
I just, if you say, like, I'm just being myself. Already it seems like it justifying something a little bit, you know?
When other people are trying to get me to do something,
yeah.
or I haven't done something, et cetera, yeah. et cetera. I mean, we yeah. all live with other people. We're all yeah. engaged with other people.
Yeah.
Or my cat's upset. I mean, you yep. know, it's what, yeah.
Yep. I do.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, I can't use the excuse, well, I'm living my life.
You can't blame me, I'm just being myself.
Right.
Yeah. Because yourself also wants to, I mean, it breaks our heart when someone's disappointed in us. That's us too, you know? That's natural.
So I accept that.
Yeah.
I just accept it and try to be kind to these people who at sometimes are just not very nice.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have, yeah, my, thank you for that. So I'm hearing you say you're just being yourself and other people have some opinions about how that's going. And and we're touched by that. We're moved by that. So there's something that's important in the precept practice. And I've sometimes heard people say something like, well, and that's, I think, why I jumped on what you were saying, and forgive me for cutting you off. But I got excited at this possibility that we would see in ourselves this tendency to say, well, I'm just being myself, so you can't be mad at me. Because I went to the Zen Center, and they said I could just be myself. And so now I'm just being myself, and I said something stupid, and now you're mad at me, but I'm just myself, you can't blame me, is a little bit, it's not totally authentic. Suzuki Roshi says, not to kill is the dead precept. I'm sorry is the living precept. The feeling of being ourself is more like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not like, you can't blame me. I'm just the whole one with everything. That's a little bit like making an excuse. So that's the part that I'm just feel very kind of that kind of comes along as a shadow of this teaching that is important for me to point out, but maybe that's not resonating or not clear. It's not about justifying ourselves. It's that we practice moment after moment. My practice is to come into the breath, to come into the body, to try to let go of whatever I can in the mind, to be the aliveness that is like just here with what is, you know, intimate with what's here, and then let some response try to come from that. And that if I'm in something like, well, what should I do when someone says X, Y, or Z? I'm using something other than zazen, you know, to meet. So when somebody's disappointed in me, what I want to do is practice zazen. Be the embodied, open, empty intimacy with what's happening, and try to trust that something is going to come from that. And it might feel like, well, don't blame me. And it might sound like, I'm sorry, I don't know. You know. So part of what's radical about the Suzuki Roshi's teaching on the Zen precepts is like, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't have a strategy. We don't have some rules even. We have this guide that we want to practice zazen, in the sense of moment after moment, we're coming into our body, emptying our mind, becoming intimate with or one with our environment, and then allowing something to unfold as just being that. I don't know if that's meeting your comment at all. If you could say more.
No, I think what you're telling me is to be more intimate with what's going on, to be more present and be intimate.
Yeah.
And not react.
That's what I'm selling. selling water by the river. That's what I'm buying, you know. That's what I'm entrusting my being to. Instead of bringing something into this moment, can I actually let go? So Suzuki Roshi says, what we are, when we are just ourselves, actually everything's included. There's no inside, there's no outside. It's not even that you're apart. This being alive, and this is just true of our direct experience right now. Everything that's coming up is your own life. There's nothing outside of your being. Do you know what I mean? It's so intimate already. I mean, it's not like we're going to make it intimate. It's already like excruciatingly intimate, the situation of being alive together. It's not even, we usually think like we're alive together, you know, in our separate cars or whatever. But it's not like that. For you right now, everything, all of us here, this whole thing is actually what your life is made out of. It is your life. The whole thing is your life. It's not like, because how else would it be in your life? If we weren't your life, how did we get here? You know what I mean? How did we get into your life or your awareness? Do you know what I mean? Everything that you see or hear or sense is your own self, you could say. Not in some sense that kind of like means nobody else exists or something insane like that, but just the intimacy of it. We are actually in each other's being, in each other's body and mind, obviously, you know, we're thinking about each other all the time. It's so intimate to be alive. And I sometimes think, you know, it's kind of like too intimate, which is why we do this dividing thing, you know, self thing. Like, well, don't, I'm not, you know, I'm over here and they're over there and there's this nice distance. But then we practice zazen and it's like, oh, where'd that distance go? It's actually all just one thing that we could call yourself, your life. But you could also call it Buddha. You could call it life itself. It's so intimate. And the way that Suzuki Roshi is offering again and again when he talks about this oneness, to be one with our surroundings, our environment, to be intimate with everything or anything, is to have an empty mind. To forget, he says, you, when you practice Zazen, you include everything. And the way to experience or appreciate that is to forget who you are and where you are and how long you've been there. Then you are just this aliveness that includes everything. When you're thinking about who I am and where I am and what time it is, you're separating out. You're cutting the thing into parts, and then you might not appreciate being this self that includes everything. And then you're going to try to do good, but you've divided. So now you've separated from everyone, but now you want to be good, so you're going to like do some should things that you do to try to like heal the division that you just made between you and the world. And we call that more morality or ethics or something. Suzuki Roshi is saying, don't do that. If I have a quick way, you know, rather than like separate from the world and then try to do these practices of goodness that make you intimate again, how about just don't separate? Which is forget who you are and how long you've been there and where you are. You can remember, somebody can ask you where you are and you'll answer right away. It's less risky than you think because we really, like, really know who we are and where we are and what time it is. We've got lots of training for that, you know. That one of the most simple and beautiful ways he puts it is this intimacy. He calls it to share the feeling that we have. To share the feeling we have. Sharing the feeling we have right here, right now, is the fundamental thing for Zen practice. Zen is, in a word, to share. To share our feeling with people, with trees, and with mountains, wherever we are. That is Zen practice. This kind of transparency, the feeling, it's not like, well, I'm grumpy, so I want everybody to know about it. It's just this feeling of being alive is shared with everything, and everything is sharing its feeling with us. There's this intimacy. Sharing, being one. Usually, our mind is filled with something like ice cream or bananas or how much the soap costs in one store compared to another, or by looking at the newspaper and seeing an ad for a sale. So it is almost impossible to share the actual feeling we have where we are right now. This thing, our life is going on and on, endlessly filled with rubbish. All this stuff that we have in our mind is keeping us from just that simple sharing of the feeling. It doesn't have to be, but it is. We're so in who I am and how it's going and the sale and whatever that we're just not opening our eyes. We're not opening our heart. We're not opening the feeling of the space that we're in and the feeling of intimacy with who's around. Our life is going on and on, endlessly filled with rubbish. It is not rubbish at first. He's backtracking. He feels bad about having called our minds full of rubbish, even though they are objectively, you know, mostly full of rubbish. But anyway, so it's not rubbish at first. At some moment, it is important for you, but it is not necessary to hold on to it past that point. It is the same with our everyday life. Because we have so much useless rubbish in our mind, it is hard to share our feeling with people, with things, with trees, or with mountains. Even though we are right in the middle of the woods, it is still hard to appreciate the feeling of the woods. When we can really appreciate the feeling of the woods, that is Zazen. He says that again and again. This kind of forgetting, this kind of clearing, you know, clearing our mind at the surface of the thoughts that are in it, letting those fall away if they can. in order to be in the intimacy. Walking in the woods, it kind of helps when you're not thinking about other stuff, then you can feel the feeling of being in the woods. He says that's Zen practice. And then the leaping, or the way that this is coming from appreciation of your comment, is like entrusting our life to this empty mind that is being the intimacy with things and saying, actually, I don't know what the best thing to do is. I don't know what to do, but I trust that actually instead of relying on the stuff in my mind to tell me what to do, I'm going to rely on coming into the body, trying to empty the mind if I can, even if that's a little scary, like forget who I am and where I am and how long I've been there and what I'm supposed to do and what a good person's supposed to do in this circumstance. Just forget that I'm a person, all of it, forget everything. Be in the body, be in the feeling of the moment. And then let something come from that, you know? So again and again, this empty mind, empty of the surface thoughts and empty of the deep, of the deeper views, who I think I am, how I think I'm separate from the world. So moment after moment, trying to entrust ourself to Zazen. We practice Zazen in here, and then the teaching is that this is just like a warm-up, you know, for then stepping into our life and practicing the Zazen. Moment after moment, we're faced with something, and we're automatically going to, how do I sort this out using what's in my mind? And the teaching is, can we come into our body? Can we come into our belly? Can we let go of what's in our mind? What am I going to do? And not know and feel the intimacy and then leap into something that's together. And that is going to be the most reliable way to practice not killing. He says, if you're doing that, you're not going to kill. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be killing. It's not going to be lying. It's not going to be manipulating or exploiting or dividing, because those are the opposite of the intimacy that you just let yourself settle into. But there's no rule there. There's no formula. You're not turning to a rule. You're turning to Zazen. Sorry to go on. Please.
Well, you may have answered it. But what came up for me is thinking about how my habits are to deal with those things. Yeah. So, and often...
To deal with, like, just the everyday
problem?
So,
for example, for anger, I notice anger... If I notice it, then I can say, oh, I'm experiencing anger. So I'm probably also delusional right now, quite more delusional. Uh-huh. And maybe my brain would like some oxygen, so I should focus on my breath and bring it in to take care of it. And so if I'm sad, often I'll go on a walk in my garden to let the joy of the flowers come in, or visit with my cat, you know. And Buddhism has antidotes to those struggles, you know. We study some of them. And I think what you're saying is to take a pause before taking action, you know, before taking care of what's coming up, to pause. And I think the question, and it might be answered with the pause, but oftentimes what happens when we say, you know, we're going to be one, we're going to Zazen, we're going to be with everything, is really bypass. And so my question is about the tricks we play on ourselves like that, and how to find that balance.
Yeah. Thank you so much for so much you said there. And again, it's good we have still 2 hours and 35 minutes left. First off, I just want to appreciate what you said is so profound, transformative, like literally life-changing, to say that actually when you feel anger, you were reminded of love. When you feel anger, you're reminded of your practice. When you feel sadness, you're reminded of your practice. You've hooked up the afflictions, the difficulty, you've welded that to the awakening, to the practice. So you just have this like inexhaustible fuel source, renewable energy for your practice, where all of the negative stuff that comes, instead of being confusing and like, oh no, a negative thing, it's like, oh, it just sounds like a bell. The way you're describing your anger is like, bong, you hear the anger and you come back and you say, oh, sweetie, what do we need? Instead of like believing the anger, that is actually totally transformative. That's awakening. That is like everything changes. There is no longer any enemy. There is no more affliction. There is just bong, you know? So, and yes, it is a pause. You could think of it as a pause. In his comments on the, there's a precept about not selling intoxicants, and Suzuki Roshi really loves this one, and he hardly ever talks about intoxicants, but he really likes the selling, you know, what are you selling? So it's like, what are you selling, you know, to people? But one of the things he says that Dogen Zenji, our Soto Zen founder, says about the precept of intoxicating is to practice not selling intoxicants before you have intoxicants. Practice not selling liquor before you have liquor. Once you have liquor, it's going to be too late. You know, so it's not just a pause. It's also doing zazen now for the next moment. You know, if you're already in zazen, you're already observing the precept. You're already in the kindness, in the warm heart. Then what comes up is met by a warm heart. It's not like something comes up, what do I do? Pause, warm heart, meet. It's more like to try. That's what we're trying to cultivate, is that it's already here. And it sounds like that's what you're describing, when the anger is just arising in this warm heart that's just meeting it already. For me, this thing of bypass, yeah, so maybe I think that's why, you know, I say, he sometimes says become one. And then you think, well, to become one, I have to get rid of two. Or just, but more often he says include everything. And to me, that's like, where is the bypass? There is no bypass. There's nothing bypass there. It literally says, include everything. Include everything. When you're yourself, when you're practicing zazen, everything's included. If everything's not included, you're not practicing zazen. If it's the opposite, if you think, I should be a loving person, so I'm not going to feel this hate. I should be a kind person, so I'm not going to deal with like this deep-rooted kind of hatred I have for this person. That's not including everything. That's grabbing on to kind of moralism, and that's part of what Suzuki Roshi sees about kind of the danger of moralism, is then you're going to start rejecting parts of yourself to try to do this should. So the way that we're sharing the feeling, emptying the mind, is not to like push away something that's important to think. It's to actually be in the body, to be in the presence where we can, as you say, take care of everything that's arising. So it's not a pushing away. The way that I've been trying to describe this letting go, this emptying the mind, because we do have to account for it. I don't like that we have to open to empty our mind, because that sounds hard. And I hate to suggest something hard, you know. But again, this like wasn't my idea, and wasn't the Buddha's idea, that life is already hard. And so the Buddha says, well, here's something that could help. And it's kind of hard. Sorry. But it can be kind of hard to empty the mind. And we might think, you know, that we might understand that it's trying to push something away. I think when it has this positive feeling of like, I long to be intimate with what's here, it's not a negative thing. I'm not trying to get rid of something. I'm actually trying to share the feeling with mountains and trees and people and cars and walls. And everything is included, and myself, you know, everything is there. So the way I prefer to say it is like to let go of what can be let go of, you know. We're not trying to push, cut off anything that can't be let go of, but we can sometimes let go of a lot, and sometimes we can't let go of much, you know. So the thought is welcome. That's just the last comment, and then we can do the closing verse. What we're caring for in Zen is not a particular state of mind, or a particular state of awareness or something, but it's a posture. It's a kind of posture of presence. And when we're in that posture, then everything is included. When we're in that posture, when we're in that openness, then the thoughts can come and they're totally welcome and met and cared for and not distracting, our opposite distracting, they're just life itself. But sometimes the thoughts come along and they break the posture. They break our posture, and then we're not including anything. Suzuki Roshi said, we have to admit that. Sometimes we get distracted and confused and we're actually not including anything. And that is a problem for our practice of precepts. So yeah, we have to kind of set something down in order to be able to include everything, in order to be able to take care of everything. So it's not about pushing anything away, but it is about caring for this posture And then again and again, moment after moment, when we can, especially when things are difficult, remembering that the way to meet this, he says, when we understand how difficult it is to be alive, you know, we understand the difficulty of our everyday problems, we understand how important it is to practice zazen. Moment after moment, we meet our problems with zazen mind, zazen body, zazen heart. And if we practice in that way, we are more likely to be actually practicing intimacy. Thanks again for the invitation and the kindness and your patience and attention.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.